Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
I have a favorite German theologian. Those of you that have been here for a while know his name, and it is
Bonhoeffer.
Yeah, Bonhoeffer. Now, Bonhoeffer was a hero to me. He is a hero. He was involved in the plot to kill Hitler in the 1940s and was found out and was executed for his complicity in that pact. He wrote a number of things that are is almost like you could read them this morning. You can almost read them this morning, and they have a freshness to them, even though he may have written them over 70 years ago. It's just tremendous quality there. One thing he talks about in a book called The Cost of Discipleship is this comparison between costly grace and cheap grace. He makes the point, and it was frankly came after a visit that he made to the United States, but he makes this point in there that we live in a world where we seem to focus overly on cheap grace. It's grace without confession. It's grace without discipleship. It's grace without change in your life. And what he basically says is that it's important for us to understand that as Christians, we need to understand costly grace. And he goes through a number of examples of those, but not the least of which is, of course, the sacrifice of Christ Jesus on the cross. That was about as costly offering or a gift as could be given to us. So he makes his contrast between cheap grace and costly grace. Now, I'm going to offer you two illustrations about what I've heard about Christmas the other day, and I wonder if they're not sort of the same idea as cheap grace, costly grace, but instead of grace, it's Christmas. It's cheap Christmas, costly Christmas. I saw a sign the other day that said, "Be calm. Be calm. Christmas is only one day long. Christmas is only one day." And I wonder if that's not an element of cheap grace. And then you contrast that element that you have of perhaps the costly grace, with the almost last line, the last reflection that Dickens offers in The Christmas Carol from the words from Scrooge, a life that's been transformed, a life that's been changed as a result of his experiences. And he says, Scrooge says, "I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will honor Christmas in my heart and I will try to keep it all the year." I confess to you, for those who would like to have the sign be on their shirt that says, "Be calm, Christmas is only one day," I guess my question to them would be, why have one day at all? Why just make it 0 days? Wouldn't that just be the logical extrapolation from where you believe? I would say that it's important for us to understand the difference between cheap grace, costly grace, cheap Christmas, costly Christmas. It's important for us to understand what it is that Christmas is not only a celebration. It's not only a celebration. It's about a way of thinking. It's about a way of seeing life anew, brand new and different than it was before. You can make the choice. Do you want Christmas to be a celebration, or do you want it to be something that changes your very heart? Heart is an important element of what it is that we come into the church to have warmed and changed. It's what happened to John Wesley in 1738 as he began to hear the nature of Romans preached to him and spoken to him in a way that his heart was changed. And this Jesus guy, if we really take him seriously, can change our very way of seeing things. Luther once described John 3:16 as the gospel in a sentence. The gospel in a sentence. And Gospel John 3:16 is, for God so loved the world that he gave, not he held, not he held it back, but he gave his only son. And why? It was for the redemption of the world, not to criticize the world, not to hold the world hostage, but rather to free the world. It's an important element there for us. Paul, when he's writing about the adult Jesus in Philippians, would say, Jesus had all the right in the world to claim his right to be God. He was God after all. And he says, instead of being God, instead of behaving like God and holding everything back for himself, he empties himself out for the world. We can focus on cheap Christmas if we only focus on the Christ child. If we keep our minds focused only on the Christ child and not recognize the adult and the transforming element of what that adult calls us to do and or be in the world, we're exercising a choice of only the cheap Christmas and not the costly Christmas, the one that forces us to make changes in our very life. Now, I would say to you that there's elements of how we go about change, and it's a little bit like an onion. You have to sort of keep peeling the layers back a little bit at a time. It doesn't happen just like that. Transformation doesn't happen spontaneously in totality. One writer suggests that one of the ways we try to keep Christmas, and we try to keep Christmas in March and June and September, is to enter into an attitude, into a way of thinking. One is to focus on what it is you have. Focus on what it is you have. Wouldn't that be nice if we could do that instead of letting the world bombard us with what it is we don't have and how we feel like we have to go out and buy that? One of the other elements is figure out and know what is truly important. Figure out and know what is truly important. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of people selling stuff out there for us for consumption that are not of vital importance for us. Here's one for you. Treat strangers with kindness. I've heard a related sentence to that, which is sometimes you evaluate a person's character by how they treat someone who can do nothing for them. Finally, it's look for the good. And I know this can be hard. I live in this world. I'm mindful of how this world operates. This world will tell you, will lift up somebody as a hero, and they'll say, oh, yeah, but, you know, back when he was 19 years old, he got a DWI. Where's the forgiveness? Where's the compassion in that? Those four good thoughts for us as to how we might want to go about that. That's just the first level. That's just the first layer. If you want to go deeper, you have to maybe go back to what Scrooge was driving at on this idea, perhaps, of really keeping Christmas. What is it to keep Christmas? Steve Maraboli is a leadership expert, and he makes some comments where it has to do with the contrast of people about the issue of Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays. I know there are people out there that are occasionally offended over the word of Happy Holidays. You shouldn't be bothered at all. Christmas, to say Merry Christmas, brings with it some responsibility. Did you think about that? Have you thought about saying Merry Christmas brings with it a package of things that you're suggested that you do? And Maraboli says that you really want to keep Christ in Christmas? You really want to focus on keeping Christmas? Then feed the hungry, clothe the naked, forgive the guilty, welcome the unwanted, care for the ill, love your enemies, and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Wow, that sounds like some pretty costly Christmas stuff, doesn't it? But that cheap Christmas sounds a lot easier now, doesn't it? That perhaps is maybe the way we should really think about it, as opposed to what Maraboli's laying out there for us. Henry Van Dyke was a Baptist preacher of the 1920s. He wrote a long reflection on the idea of keeping Christmas. And he would say, there's a better thing than the observance of Christmas Day, and that is keeping Christmas. Are you willing to forget what you have done for other people and to remember what other people have done for you? To ignore what the world owes you and to think that will be what it is you owe the world. To put your rights in the background and your duties in the middle distance and your chances to do a little more than your duty in the foreground. Are you willing to do those things maybe even for one day? Then if you can, maybe you can keep Christmas. Are you willing to see that men and women are just as real as you are and try to look behind their faces to their hearts that are also hungry for joy? Are you willing to own up to the fact that you probably the only good reason for your existence is not what you are going to get out of life, but what you are going to give to life? Are you willing to close your book of complaints against the management of the universe and look around for a place where you can sow a few seeds of happiness? Are you willing to do those things even for one day? Then you can keep Christmas. Are you willing to stoop down and consider the needs and desires of little children, to remember the weakness and loneliness of people growing old, to stop asking how much your friends love you and ask yourself whether you love your friends? To bear in mind the things that other people have to bear in their hearts. Are you willing to do these things even for a day? Then you can keep Christmas. Are you willing to believe that love is the strongest thing in the world? Love that is stronger than hate, stronger than evil, stronger than death, and that blessed love came down as a blessed life which began in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago is the image and brightness of eternal love? Then you can keep Christmas. But then the question is, if you can keep Christmas for one day, why not every day? Why not every day? That's the challenge for us. So we can leave here and go back out of here, and you've got two choices. The choice is to celebrate an easy Christmas, a Christmas that doesn't place any obligations or demands upon you. Or you can be like Scrooge, changed, altered in how you see the world, changed in such a way that you are going to do everything in your power to try and celebrate Christmas in your heart every single day. God gives you that power. God's grace is there. God's grace is there through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, where you can take that pain, those things that you have that keep you from serving God in the world, and you can lay it right here at this table. Give it back to God. All the crap we carry around in our lives can be set aside. God's grace is there. The choice is, which one do we want? The cheap Christmas? The cheap grace, or do we want the costly Christmas and the costly grace? The choice is yours. God's not going to force you to make any one of those choices, but the choice is yours. I would invite you, if you're looking for a church home and you don't know quite where you'd like to end up, this is a church filled with sinners, pastored by a sinner. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And you know what? Because we know who we are, and we know that we are flawed people in that journey, we are willing to sit down and not celebrate how great we are, but rather how humble we are, and how welcome everyone would be here. In January, in the first 2 weeks of February, we're going to take a long, hard look at the subject of fear. The world wants you to be afraid. The world wants you to be very afraid. And we're going to take a look at the subject of fear, and we're going to invite you to find ways to be unafraid in a world that's focused on fear. I hope some of you will come back. 9 and 10:30, 9 service, a little intimate. 10:30 is more like this, larger. But both services, we talk like we have tonight about things that we need to heal that which is in our soul. This is a generous church. In a moment, we're going to take up an offering. We fund these many of the ministries outside of our building through nights like tonight. T- Tonight's offering will not turn a single light bulb on. Tonight's offering will not keep any water hot. Tonight's offering will not air condition this room in July. Tonight's offering will do everything we can to help Native Americans in Cortez, Colorado, and Native Americans in Duwojibako, Utah. I can even spell it. We'll do everything we can in our power to make life just a little bit better at the rescue mission of Salt Lake. Last year, we gave away over $13,000. $13,000 to make life a little bit better for people in the world. Marilyn and I hope to be able to go to the Dominican Republic in June or July, where we're going to look at this big, hairy, audacious goal there of bringing water to a small village. Need $8,000. We're about halfway there. But it's a big, hairy, audacious goal. But the money you're about to contribute tonight doesn't stay here. It makes a difference in the world. And we think in our own mind, we think in our own way, that it's an element of costly Christmas, costly grace, as opposed to cheap Christmas and cheap grace. God bless you. Thank you very much for being here tonight. And may God bless every one of you. Peace be with you.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.